This is CliffCentral.com.
Yeah, good morning, everybody. What's happening? I hope you had a good weekend. Hope you're ready for this week. And a full 5 days. How are you going to handle it?
Finally.
Yeah, how are you going to get this right?
I've been so looking forward to a five-day week, seriously.
No, me too.
I really have been.
Look, I know that a lot of people get, oh, I love holidays. We had a lot of holidays. The whole of April was a write-off.
Yeah, too many.
First week and a half, 2 weeks in May was just a disaster. So here we are, the 13th of May, and finally a five-day week.
Look, if you like holidays, become a teacher.
Right.
Too much admin.
Well, you can't have everything, Sia. It's a game of balances. So you can have teachers do have a very, very tough and demanding job. They have to teach other people's shit children. But they also get good holidays.
Exactly. So if that's your game, then that's your game.
That's right. And if you want more, let's say you want to be paid a really, really big salary and you want to be able to decide whenever you like to just go on a holiday, then be your own boss.
Well, there we go. We've summed up life again in 2 minutes. That's what we do on the show here.
Unprovoked, unrequested,
here we are.
The bottom line is there's no easy way out in life.
No.
Okay.
But funny, Ben and I were talking about this because he finally watched the Bachelor's finale.
I literally fell asleep twice. Yes, that had something to do with wine, but
I
fell asleep twice. It was so bad. It was horrific.
So here's the reason Ben was pissed off with it. And I know there are lots of people who didn't love The Bachelor and didn't care about our updates, but this is much more of a kind of philosophy discussion.
Okay. Because
Ben pointed out that watching that episode, he suddenly realized like how deeply ingrained this victim culture has become.
Yeah.
That everyone feels that they're in some way a victim. Everyone in South Africa at the moment. I mean, I even watched this with the political parties over the weekend. You know, as the results were finalized, and these ones were saying, oh, well, we didn't do well because, and we didn't do well because, and this was their fault. And it's this whole, like, everybody's got this thing in their heads that the world's against them. Like, first of all, you're not important enough for the whole world to be against
you. Yeah, that's really important if someone's plotting that much.
You know, if you sit there and you think that the world is against you, and you really genuinely believe that there's some conspiracy against CEO or Leanne or Ben or Gareth, first of all, you have to consider the fact that maybe you're not as important as you think you are, which is this humble brag stuff, you know? People are like, oh, well, it's all so unfair and everything's stacked against me and I was born to poor parents and I was born with one leg and I was born with three teeth missing in my upper jaw.
And though that matters, makes a difference.
Sure, but and of course, all of that is hard, but you're not important enough. Like, nobody actually cares that much about you that they're willing to sit and plot against you. Even if you're a very powerful politician, seldom is there a huge conspiracy. It's usually just one or two people who don't like you. And even then, that's part of being a politician. So you can't cry victim. But anyway, to go back to the Bachelor. So Ben was watching this, and he says to me on a WhatsApp, he's like, this fucking show.
Direct quote.
By the way, he's paid me my extra 100, yes. So I'm still waiting.
Oh, yeah. All right. Okay.
No. Yeah.
Neither
of them reach for their wallets, by the way.
Because we know they're empty.
Mine is in the other room. Guys, I'm so focused on the show.
We've made this bet a long time ago. That's why we kind of nice things in the show, because instead of paying up, you guys go, oh, yeah. Just tell me, what is OER to the dollar today? Zero, because it's not a currency.
We'll ask Anthea.
Ben, it's not a non-willingness to pay. It's simply forgetting to bring the cash. Yeah. I don't carry cash on me.
Well, I'm sorry.
I'll EFT you.
No, you won't.
I'll get my auditor.
No, if you gave me your bank details right now, I'd EFT you.
Yes, so, I have my app.
Oh,
yeah.
Speaking of which, I did something really interesting. Yesterday, I went and I bought some shit for Mother's Day, and my sister asked me to get something.
Oh.
And then she showed me how to do this geo payment thing.
Oh, yeah?
Yes, with your banking app.
Oh, yeah, if you're in the same room as somebody.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I knew that you could do this, but it was the first time I actually did it. And she paid me like $230 on geo payments, which is awesome.
But can't you just, I mean, I would pay my brother via EFT on my F&B app.
It's even easier if he's also on the same app to just do a geo payment. You don't have to do the whole complicated putting the account number. And this is easy. You just have your phones in proximity. She says she's going to send me the 230. I accept. Mm-hmm. And voila, it's charged.
Well, I don't. But surely she needed your bank details before.
No. Well, with Gareth, GeoPayments, no.
Gareth, I don't believe the story, so why don't these two just try it out now?
Let's try.
I'm very happy to. Right,
no, we'll do it afterwards.
Very happy to. I hate owing people money.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, so anyway, long story short, with the whole bachelor crap, it was such a... it was just terrible. I mean, that whole thing with the diary was a non-story during the show. Then they made it a bigger non-story.
Yeah.
And like a lot of the girls weren't even like spoken to. They got brought back.
Mm-hmm.
And then at the end, Lee, it's just so hard for Lee. His life is just so tough, so hard, that he came out of the bubble of the show. So many other girls now wanted him. And then he just couldn't do it, Gareth. He just couldn't do it. It was so hard.
Well, you see, I take a step back and not to be critical for the sake of being critical, but you know, the producers are also trying to fill 48 minutes of programming every single week
with, by the way, not very interesting people.
Well, so they do the have to add plot lines, and they do. Well, it's not really about writers. We were having this conversation though off air last week about, as much as we can say about Hollywood and the American industry and the American entertainment industry, that is a big, mean machine.
Yeah.
They will dig up this nastiness from people. They will make people do these unspeakable things just for our entertainment. Like right now with the new season of The Bachelorette, I don't know under what rock they found this contestant on.
She's from The Bachelor, which is currently on.
Well, one of the contestants who's vying for her heart. This guy has now fathered 114. Has fathered 114 kids.
No, you're lying.
And that's from sperm donors, right? Yeah, sperm. That's not actually from covering.
But I mean,
directly,
that is not just a journal plot line. Of course, now we're intrigued to see how this plays out. And, you know, so not just to be critical, but we have to a certain extent, try a little harder, do a little more.
Watching The American Bachelor now, it is full, jam-packed. They can't even put in enough stuff. Because of the way the girls are and the way that, you know, they've obviously chosen well when choosing these contestants.
But
what is it with South Africans? No, we're so bland.
We're not good at performing. I've always said that a big part of this is this this Calvinistic idea of being humble, which is totally misplaced. It's, you know, the humble people, where humility counts. If you're humble, it only counts if you've actually done something with your life. Being humble, if you've done nothing with your life, is not an achievement. It's expected. It's default. It's in fact baked in to being nothing. If you're a worthless, pathetic human being humble is not an achievement. You should bloody be. No, you've done nothing. So only when really successful people are humble does it count for something.
Well, I tell you what.
South Africans always... you know what I like about her? She's so humble.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for what? Such a She's nice, got nothing humble to not guy. Be humble about. All she's ever done is been average. And now you're saying that it's a great achievement that she's also humble about it. Well, what was she going to be full of herself about? You know what I mean? So there's that. And I think that that's overvalued also. Look, we've got browbeaten people because the system has abused millions of people in South Africa. And we've got this really disgusting society. And I say this without any prejudice on the individual, but we've got a society where the family is very dysfunctional. We have loads and loads of people who were just raised very badly, like essentially like animals, you know, where the very seldom is there a nuclear family in place, very seldom is there love in that household, very seldom are there resources in that household. People basically have children and then their responsibility ends the moment the child comes out of the womb. And the kid is left to fend for itself. Now, how can it grow up to be anything other than a survival mode animal? You know, so this is the problem. So America has this huge middle class of people who've grown up with television. They get to do show and tell when they go into school in the morning. Every day, Americans go in and do show and tell. So they're used to standing up in front of the class and presenting themselves. South Africans, you tell them to present themselves. And after years of doing Idols, I can absolutely vouch for this. They just fall apart. They don't know what to do. He said, tell me about yourself.
I don't want to. I'm humble.
Yeah, and watching children
I'm
on
humble
TV.
I'm humble, I mumble.
If you put a microphone in front of an American kid.
They know what to do.
Yeah,
they'll
go off.
Bees. They're busy spelling the word supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. And our kids are learning from Angie Mocheka how to add 3 and 3 in grade 11.
Mm. Mm.
Do you like school? Yes.
Yeah, well, high
school. Have you got friends at school?
Yes.
You have to always, if you're interviewing a child, a South African child, you have to ask not yes or no questions.
Correct. In America, they'll offer
what's
a whole bunch of opinions.
What's your favorite thing at school?
And by the way, we're not saying Americans are better. We're just saying they're better performers. They're better at presenting themselves.
Yeah.
I just want to play something for you that is so hilarious. Someone sent me this clip a while ago of this this girl being asked. She's in school uniform. She must be, I mean, she's post, she's in her adolescence. She's not a little kid.
Is this South African?
Yeah, she must be in her late teens. So she's in the tail end of high school. Listen to this.
Can you please tell us, where is your brain located?
My brain located, like how?
The thing that you use to think and to make decisions. Where is your brain located?
The question is that where is my brain located? Like, I have to answer that my brain is located to what and what? I mean, like, things I enjoy doing or what?
No, I mean, in which part of your body is your brain located?
Okay, it's located to the left part of my body.
In the left part of your body? Okay. Okay, no, it's fine. Thank you so much, ne?
Oh, no.
Yep.
So,
wow.
It's that kind of thing that we...
I don't want to be part real? Of this society.
Is that real?
It's totally real. No, it's totally real. That was recorded for some late night show not so long ago. They did it at a school. I think that's a school in Limpopo. But I mean, Limpopo gets way too much ugliness for what it deserves. It's not. It's not as stupid as people think. It's way stupider.
Huh?
Yep. I don't know. I've just
Limpopo.
I don't know if I want to be part of the society. I really don't.
You are, whether you like it or not.
You don't have to be. You can get the silos of a society and stick with them.
Listen, but the point is that this whole victim thing and Lee and the Bachelor, like, here's this dude who's being paid. He's good. He's born genetic lottery. He's good looking dude. He's in great shape. He's basically been rewarded. Up to now, his whole life has just been a reward for a genetic lottery. Really?
Pretty privileged.
I mean, I'm not saying he's not a nice guy and
he doesn't work hard.
Yeah, sure. He may be all of those things. Yeah. But basically, if you're a model and you've been a sportsman, these are the two things he's done. He's played rugby and he's been a model. That's genetic lottery stuff. That's what your parents put into you when they made you. You did nothing to earn that. It's pure luck. You are lucky. You're already in the top 5% of people on earth because you have a symmetrical face. People want to fuck you. Do you understand how good that is?
Yes.
You know, hard coming from a point of view of someone who doesn't have that, I'll tell you, you've won.
Preach, all right? Brother.
So that's the first thing. Second thing is you're being paid to be on a show where a whole bunch of chicks who are not bad looking, they're all pretty hot. They all are vying for your love, and you're busy kvetching about man, broken home, been in the bubble. What worm are you? What kind of slimy little worm do you see? And when you close your eyes at night and you go to sleep, do you go, thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, for this amazing life that I have? I'm on a TV show where 20 chicks are trying desperately to get into bed with me. I've got women outside of those 20 chicks who are running. When I get out of the car at the airport, they're running towards me. They're stampeding towards me for my penis. And my life is hard? what cognitive dissonance is this? You get into bed at night and you go, oh, it's tough being me, you know. I'm having a really rough time.
Can't make a choice.
I'm sick of people who do this. You know, if you've woken up this morning and you have a warm bed to sleep in, and you have a job to go to, and you have something in the fridge, even if it's an old apple, and you have the ability to produce something, whether it's intellectual property, whether it's an article, whether it's a product, whether it's adding value to a brand. If you can do that today, let me remind you, you are better off than any ancestor of yours. They didn't have any of that stuff. And if you can consider yourself a victim in 2019, you've got a problem. You've got a major monkey on your back. You've got insecurities totaling up that are going to wipe you out. They're going to break you into pieces. Stop it. Stop being such a pussy. I wish more parents had told their children when they were younger, shut up and stop being a pussy instead of,
you're so clever, little Arnold. You're such a smart little child.
And Arnold grows up thinking, but my parents told me I was smart. Why don't I have a CEO position? Because you're not the smartest kid in the your parents lied to you.
Yeah. Again, the Idols analogy with your parents told you could sing.
Stop lying to your children.
But this is, again, absolutely no surprise why most CEOs are psychopaths, because they're the only ones that have the balls to get to the top of something.
And
because
they realize, like, most people are just a waste of time.
Yeah.
They just realize that most people are absolute waste of time. They go to peasantries,
get up top there.
Correct. And they're like, look around and they go, I'm not equal to those people. I'm not the same as those people. Because if they thought they were the same as those people, which is what most South Africans think, they look around and they compare themselves to the average and they go, oof, I think I'm there. I think I'm about as average as I can be. Good. No one will spot me in the crowd. Let me just hide in the crowd here. That's what most people want. And when they get that, then they're like, oh, okay, now I can accept the victimhood of all the people around me as well. So look, if anyone tells a story about how they stubbed their toe yesterday, I'll tell them how my whole foot was amputated. And then if someone says their foot was amputated, I'll say my whole leg was gone.
Let me one-up them somehow.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I'm the bigger victim. Some life has fucked me more than it's fucked anyone else. Rubbish. Stop it. You're complaining. And you know what? Nobody actually listens to anyone complaining. They can't wait to get away from you when you complain.
Yeah. Like, unless your dad's the Moody Molly monster. I mean,
right. Then you got a reason to be. If your dad is the Moody Molly monster.
And you've got both his genes and his upbringing.
Then we'll let you on.
But still, that is enough.
Yeah, sure. Then I'll sit and listen to your story. I mean, I was talking to the father and the son, Parktown Boys. You remember that whole Colin Rex, who was this sexual abuser,
the water polo coach.
That's right. He was the guy who's been convicted to 23 years. So I interviewed the father and the son. The son who was in the school, who was one of the kids who was abused by this teacher.
It's coming out this Friday.
Right. You got to listen to this interview. It's really, really moving. It's powerful. It's all those things. Now, you know, if you're a kid and this stuff happens to you, then you have a reason to be, you know, a little upset. I think you can say life dealt me some unfair cards. That no one expects that to happen. And anyone who's been through a really tough situation like that, people are going to listen to your story because it's interesting. And because as a child, nothing that happens to you under a certain age you deserve, right? It just happens to you. And usually it's bad adults who've made that happen. But other than that, if you're going through life and you're going, woe is me, because someone next to me has better cornflakes than I do, that's really for you to figure out in your spare time and not to put on society. None of us are, we don't have time. We all have our own shit that we're dealing with. We're all worried about the petrol price and looking at our bank balance.
We're all trying to survive.
Right. Mm. And you don't actually have a huge capacity, even if you're one of those amazing people who cares and loves and embraces the rest of society and does things for other people.
That also has an end.
Sure. But if you are one of those people, you still don't have all of yourself to give away. You gotta survive, man. You've got to keep a little bit of that for yourself, which means that we don't all have unlimited sympathy and empathy to give out. And if you're going to abuse people's sympathy and empathy, all you do is harden them for the next person. That's tough.
But I think a lot of the way in which we live today is that we're so all consumed with our own lives.
Yeah, I watched the show.
Not enough to even care about comparing ourselves to whatever the case is. So when I go through something, whether I'm losing R1 or whether I'm losing R1 million,
right,
that is, oh, the worst thing to happen in my life.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care that there are, you know, kids dying, someone starving.
No.
Someone doesn't have a roof.
And let me tell you, there might have been some family that just drove their SUV into a brick wall somewhere, and they've just been wiped out. And I mean, it's horrible, but mm-hmm. you can't care about everybody and you don't know them. And it happened in some corner of the world where 100 years, the news would have taken you mm-hmm. 6 weeks to get to you anyway.
So I think we now have an exaggerated state of that,
sure,
with a Lee or any other contestant crying
media
about what's going on in their life.
But you see it also, this the idea that you're being watched, that people care about you, comes about as a result of social media too, because now you think you're a part of a show.
No, all of a sudden you've got platform. Yeah, mm-hmm. you had nothing before.
You woke up this morning and you're like, oh, I've got to put something on Instagram for my fans. No, you're an accountant, an accounting firm in Johannesburg, South Africa. You don't have an audience. You're not an entertainer. I've been in the entertainment business for 25 years. This is not what you do if you're an accountant. You don't go on stage and talk to people or have a radio show or do television or any of those things that entertainment people do. And I'll tell you, entertainment isn't all it's cracked up to be either. But don't imagine that you've got an audience. Some dude messages me over the weekend. He's like, I wonder if you would mind posting this so that I can get to 10,000 followers. Now, I don't know this guy from a hole in the ground. I asked him, why do you want 10,000 followers? Why would you want that? What's that?
And what are you going to give them?
No, well, this is the point. So he can get, I don't know, he can attract commercial attention. But the fact is, he wants these followers. And I said to him, you don't want followers? It's a horrible thing to have followers. You're responsible to them then.
Yeah, you're accountable. And every day.
I wake up at 4:30 in the morning to come here and do this godforsaken show for my fucking followers. The people who started listening 5 years ago, I've got a rod for my own back. Do you know how happy I'd be if I had to wake up at 8?
Tell him that.
This is what I want to tell him. And I mean, I love you if you listen to this show. Obviously, that's why I'm still doing it. Because I don't pay myself more. I don't pay myself more because I'm here early. I don't pay any of the rest of the team more because we're here early. If we were in radio, we'd probably be earning more. Because they have tons of money, right? Stuck away in shareholders and that kind of thing. Here we are. We're waking up in the morning. What do? You post a video of yourself getting ready in the morning and you think you've got an audience.
My morning routine.
No one wants to watch you getting ready. No one wants to see you making a cup of cappuccino. No one cares about you that much. And if you think they do, you are full of shit.
Can I just, on this point, and I have to point out that you have a window open on your computer with subscriber counts. And if you look on the right, there's the Tutty Westbrook and James Charles. Have you been watching this thing unfold?
No. Okay, so
it takes us all back to something like this.
The reason this is on the screen is because someone said, Silver is amazing, says, keen to see what Sia's opinion is on this. And then I opened it. I don't know who Tutty and James Charles are.
What's Tutty Westbrook?
So help us.
I had an idea that you didn't, and that it was just pure fluke that it was on the screen.
So tell me, who are these people?
So this is exactly what, to your point. They are beauty and lifestyle vloggers.
Yeah, okay.
Well, vloggers, yeah, on YouTube. I mean, maybe I should go backwards and just say that I've had this open on my computer for the last 3 days. Yeah,
but hold on.
I'm watching.
Before you go down a road of explaining to me who these people that I've never heard of in my life are, is it going to, by the end of it, am I going to be able to decipher more about the universe as a result of knowing about these people, or is it going to sap my brain energy?
It's going to sap your brain energy.
But it's also going to speak to this entire point that we're trying to make sense of.
Let's go.
So, Tutty, it's very hard to explain.
Okay, well,
Tutty and was James's mentor, right? She's a makeup artist. She's made it big on YouTube. She, until the other day, had almost
it's
6 million.
Called James.
No, Tutty. Tutty Westbrook.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
She had 6 million subscribers as of the other day. She then was approached by James Charles, a 17-year-old at the time, who wanted to do the same thing. He's a guy, but he does makeup on himself. Mm-hmm, he's a bit trans.
Okay, good.
He's admittedly gay, etc. And she, her and her husband.
I don't see a lot of straight, cisgendered, heterosexual men going, let's run the makeup counter.
Right. Yeah, no, not really. No. She mentored him along with her husband.
Okay.
He's now 19, and he, as of the other day, had 16 million subscribers.
So he surpassed the master.
Yes.
This is the rule.
And that doesn't really bug her. She's in her 30s. She just does her thing. The reason I follow her is she's actually quite a centered, grounded person who has a lot of good advice to offer people in life.
So Titty.
Tutty.
Okay, sorry. So
Tutty Westbrooks.
Westbrook.
Westbrook.
Okay, so Titty Westbrook.
Titty Westbrooks.
Titty Wears Brooks is this older woman. She's mentored this dude. Now the dude has, the student has surpassed the master, so
more followers.
Yeah. In terms of more followers.
Commercially
which
successful.
She doesn't care. She's still helping him succeed.
Yeah, but he's also, he's a Gen Z guy.
Yeah.
And so he cares about followers. She probably doesn't. She's in her 30s.
She does. I mean, she earns money off of it.
Yeah, she's in the business
so,
of.
To give you an idea, if you have 15 million followers and you're signing makeup deals, you are a multi-millionaire.
Okay.
Immediately.
Good.
So is she.
Okay, so they're both doing well.
Yeah.
Great.
So they were 10 million followers apart, right?
What's the controversy?
All good and well up until.
Up until he. Okay, so Tati, Titty Wears Brooks,
yeah.
She has a vitamin line, a beauty vitamin line called Halo Beauty.
Yes.
And then I don't know if you've heard of Sugar Bear Hair.
No.
Okay,
I didn't
Sugar
think
Bear
you
Hair
would.
Is what the Kardashians take. It's these little. Sugar.
Haven't they got enough hair? And I'm talking about on their bodies,
yeah,
not
exactly.
Even on their heads.
Exactly.
Why do the Kardashians need more hair?
Because endorsements.
James
apparently
Charles
when they bend
went...
over, they've got like a bear. Oh. It's like an Alaskan brown bear.
There's a family
badger.
Of bears.
Mm.
Yeah. Angry badger.
Yeah. Like ass hairs coming out of the top.
I didn't know that. Thank you.
So James Charles went and did a post for Sugar Bear Hair.
Mm-hmm.
And he went behind her back and he always said that he wouldn't promote her vitamins because he has younger followers and you shouldn't be promoting vitamins to 13-year-olds.
Mm-hmm. So Tati feels like it's a whole, you know, he's not being loyal, he's not being a good friend, and that's where the issue first started.
And so she went online with like a 43-minute video explaining from the beginning how she looked after James Charles from a young age, what she and her husband had done for him and the fact that he's actually quite lewd. For instance, at her birthday party where his parents were at the birthday party as well, he was talking about sucking dick and all of this in front of his parents. And it just was disrespectful. And to tell you the truth, I agree, he kind of has gone off of the rails. And since that video, their subscriber count has now become a thing. And you can watch their subscribers dropping and rising from the one to the other. People are unsubscribing from James Charles. And he has lost 2 million followers. She has gained 2 million.
Well, suicide watch, here we come.
Yeah. So to the dude who was messaging you to get more followers in an audience.
This is probably what motivates people.
This
sure.
Is, you know, it's so attainable. It's all like, right. Okay, well, of
this
course
this is like
now.
Ending his career if this continues. His career will be gone.
Oh, so it's dropping like a lead parachute at the moment. Okay, well,
yeah.
That's what, sorry, the price of being well known is that you can become infamous. So this is not all good. And if you want to go into the archives of history, you will find any number of people who've had lots of attention and it's really worked against them. It can go very badly.
So what's
and
our
so quickly.
So what's our conclusion of human society today?
Well, no, just just when you wake up this morning, just be grateful. You know, gratitude. And I know you'll appreciate this because this is an Oprah Winfrey type thing. And Oprah was good at a few things, but the one thing she was really good at inculcating in people who watched her show was a sense of being grateful for what you have, even if it's very little. Because the fact is you're really lucky and life is not that bad and you've actually had a pretty good time. And being around on Earth and the miracle of you existing is the miracle. And anything over and above that's just a bonus. Seriously. It's not about how much you've got or how much other people have or where you live or whether or not you got these followers or those followers. Just be grateful for being alive. That's the miracle. Thank you. Close the book. All right. A couple of stories in the news. Five things you need to know. First of all, the president, Cyril Ramaphosa, who is still the president because he was elected by a majority of people in the last elections, has said the governing party is grateful to its supporters. There's that gratitude I was talking about. For another term to govern, he said the party heard the concerns of over 10 million people who voted for them in the election. And he also said, we are now a party that is humble.
There we go.
We've heard the voices of our people. We are no longer an arrogant party, he said. We've shown the African National Congress is victorious and the ANC will no longer be arrogant. He vowed that the party would stick to its election promises. Well, you know what? I've heard a lot of interesting things over this weekend from people in the know in politics. All of them saying this gives him a mandate to now clear out a whole lot of shit from the cabinet, which I think he'll probably do. He'll, in the next week or two, announce a new cabinet. He'll throw some of the people to the curb who he's been waiting to do that with until he had an election mandate. Remember, he was brought in. He had to deal with what was the remnants of Jacob Zuma's cabinet. And he now has a chance to get rid of a whole lot of the stuff that he doesn't want to deal with anymore. And on that note...
there goes a pig. Look at him flap his wings in the sky. They're flying in a V, these pigs are. Look at them.
Ben, you're not hopeful here, Ben. I'm guessing you don't believe it.
Cyril Rama disappointer. This come on.
Cyril Rama disappointer.
Okay, so while we're on Cyril and the ANC, it emerged the party's embroiled in a fresh succession debate over who will be President Cyril Ramaphosa's deputy, because apparently Didi Mabuza was no longer guaranteed to retain his powerful position as second in command. It is understood groupings in the ANC are pushing for former AU Commission Chair Nkosasana Dlamini Zuma or International Relations Minister Lindiwe Sisulu to replace Mabuza. We'll have to see what happens there. That's interesting. I also saw a provisional cabinet list that was being circulated over the weekend. Yeah, a couple of people have been fired.
What sort of names are on there still?
It's more importantly, who's not on there anymore? Mm-hmm. People like Batabile Dlamini.
Oh, thank
like, you. Praveen Gordon is out. Like Tito Mboweni is out.
Ooh.
Yes, so wait for that. Let's see if it's true or not. Otherwise, it's just speculation, right? Seven awaiting trial prisoners have escaped from Modimolle holding cells Limpopo. Police said the convicts broke out on Saturday night during police routine checks. The escapees were identified as Pulano Ndebele, Tapelo Melo, Temba Ngube, Selo Rengane, Kenneth Shuma, Kazen Tluwayo, and Mpo Obvias Lesese.
Obvious.
Mpo Obvias Lesese. Circumstances around their escaping is subject to police investigation. But, you know, you don't escape unless there's some guy on the inside helping you in these kinds of situations. So I would check the police in Modimolle out very carefully. And then police have arrested a 35-year-old man for allegedly burning his 18-year-old girlfriend and their 9-month-old baby to death near Windsorton in the Northern Cape. Yo, there's some bad stuff in parts of the country where people's parents drank while they were pregnant. The mother and baby were last seen on Saturday. South African police spokesperson Captain Olebogeng Tawana says the pair were found in a veld near Windsorton on Sunday morning. A passerby alerted the police. Ugh, can you imagine finding that? They're believed to have been murdered by this boyfriend, who's 35.
Oh,
the suspect is due to appear in the Barkly West Magistrates Court on Monday on 2 counts of murder. Ugh.
It's a horror story.
Yeah, not nice. But again, you know, it's always the danger is not the people wandering around on the street who you've been told are coming to kill you. It's in your family.
It's not the killer, Sia.
Yeah.
Miss me.
This is your boyfriend, girlfriend, husband, wife. These are the people who really kill. A 6.1 magnitude earthquake hit Panama on Sunday, injuring at least 5 people and causing damage to businesses and homes. The earthquake struck at a depth of 37 kilometers in the far west of the country near the Costa Rican border, according to the U.S. Geological Survey. National Civil Protection System said 5 people were hurt, 4 homes were damaged in an earthquake which hit 22 kilometers from the town of Puerto Armuelles. And the president said on Twitter earlier that just 1 person was hurt. He reported damage to homes and businesses in the Central American nation. So, Panama... going through some earthquakiness. All right, that's all the things you need to know right now. Let's get to Ben and see what's going on in the world of sport.
Well, Gareth, Man City get the title. So does Sundowns. The IPL is finally done, and a predictable 1-2 for Mercedes again. Hopes were high for Liverpool fans. Why not? They were still drunk from Tuesday. And they thought that they could maybe sneak one over Man City. Now, all they had to do was beat Wolves, which is always going to happen, I guess. They were at home and they did it. 2-0. Liverpool have now been unbeaten at home for 2 seasons in a row. That is just absolutely incredible. That's what... If you do that, you can be a champion. Well, unfortunately, not really, because Man City are that much better and they beat Brighton and Hove Albion 4-1. Away at the Amex Express Arena, whatever it's called. And with that, they threw Pep Guardiola in the air like a bouquet of roses because it was time to celebrate. And Man City are again the champions. They've gone back to back now. First time, I think, since 2009, Man United, back when they could play, they did it. Man United, of course, got dicked by Cardiff, who were relegated already, at home, 2-0 on the final day. The biggest send-off for the season, of which there's been very disappointing for Man United, losing to a relegated team 2-0. Arsenal, they also had to do something miraculous. They had to beat Burnley by about 17 goals, but they only beat them 3-1. So that means they will not be into Europe, even though Spurs tried to bottle it at home against Everton 2-2. So that's pretty much it for the league this year, really. Look, it's incredible that Man City have done what they've done, whether it's because of the dodgy Abu Dhabi money or all the other regulations that they've found they're still under investigation for. Who knows? Who really cares? All you know is that the players on the field got it done. And you got a feel for Liverpool. 97 points. I think it's the third highest in Premier League history. And they couldn't win.
God,
just absolutely
embarrassing.
Absolutely frustrating. Of course, Liverpool are still in the mix against Spurs for the Champions League final. So there is always that to look forward to. And Man City will be playing the FA Cup final against some other team, which they'll no doubt beat. So that's English football. Local football here in South Africa. Well, Pirates, they were hoping to go and hammer Polokwane City. They did it. They beat them 3-0. But it wasn't enough because Sundowns, all they needed was a win. And they got it against Free State Stars. So there we go. That's another title for Bitsu Masimane and his men. And also kind of, yeah, it's predictable, really. Well, I wouldn't say predictable as like it's just, you know, a foregone conclusion, but you would think that this is the team with the best squad. One of the best squads in Africa, of course. And they always go deep into these things, and then experience always pays off in the end. In Super Rugby over the weekend, if you're still watching at this stage, or if you're trying to do the maths and thinking, what the hell is this? Brumbies, they beat the Sunwolves 33-0. Sunwolves did start out with some sort of spirit, but they are now back to the Sunwolves of old. Of course, they are getting the flick from this league, so maybe they're already kind of looking for job opportunities elsewhere. The Lions, they managed to hold on. Very disappointing season for the Lions this year. They just aren't the team of old, but they did manage to beat the Waratahs at home 29-28. Sia, how was that match?
Sia, we got an update.
The boys really worked well. Tough scrum action. But the balls really went through the poles, and
so basically you were shit-faced.
Touchdown after the try line.
There was footage. Sia sent us footage of him at Ellis Park
in the box.
Yes, but not really. He was pretending to watch the rugby, but he was definitely indulging in tons and tons of wine.
Lots of sparkling wine.
We were supporting the Lions and they won. That's the good thing.
Yeah,
sure.
Yes. Yeah. Nicely wrapped up there.
They could have had gymnastics on the field. He wouldn't have known the difference.
It could have been the Harlem Globetrotters versus the Vatican. That Sia wouldn't know the difference. The Chiefs beat the Sharks 29-23. The Highlanders too strong for the Hakawada 32-27. And then on Friday night, 20 Rand tickets in the Oost Pavilion. $20 to go watch the absolute thrashing. Crusaders 45, the Bulls all of 13. Oh, how sad. This is the thing though, like, you want to get people to watch rugby in this country. Cool. You lower the price. Cool. They get in there. Cool. You know, your team shit. And they go, oh, well, we're not watching losers.
Yeah.
Such a tough conundrum this. How do we fix this? How do we do it? Well, we should all make an effort to try in some way or another. And even if it means going back to watch a team, hopefully not get this hammered again. But then again, the Crusaders are the best team in the whole tournament. They're like amazing. I'll get to that in a second. They are the best by far. Rebels 30, Reds 24, and then the Blues, they lost to the Hurricanes 22-12. So we are getting into the real business end of this. I think there's 5 or 6 games to go. Crusaders are on 47 points, okay? The Brumbies, because they're Australian, are on 29 points, and the Sharks on 29 because they're top their own divisions. We've been through this every year. It doesn't make sense, but that's where we are. Hurricanes are in 4th and 40 points, then the Highlanders in 29, then the Rebels in 28, and the Bulls and the Hagawadith. They make up the other wild card spots. Top 8 teams going to playoff rugby, and the Stormers will be hoping they can somehow create a miracle, or as they said, we can create a Liverpool miracle. No, you do not earn the right to even quote Liverpool in the same sentence, Stormers. You've got Robbie Fleck because you all like to drink with him, and now you're going to try to win every game at home. Well, good luck. And to a dwindling supportership, I wish you nothing but the best. The IPL is finally over. The Mumbai Indians beat the Super Yellow King team. And, Formula One. It's every single time, like I tweeted yesterday, you hope Ferrari are going to do something. Ultimately, they do not. Mercedes don't put a foot wrong, and they're always at the top of the race. So there we go. Bottas, the only thing is that Bottas started in pole, he finished second, and then Lewis Hamilton started second and he finished first. Okay. This time around, Lewis had the fastest lap as well, so he gets an extra bonus point on top of that. So, yeah, that's it. Ferrari had a chance this year, they did, but now they are not going to win. I know it's kind of early, and it's only the Spanish Grand Prix, and there's a long way to go until Abu Dhabi in November. But no, you can't. You can't beat this Mercedes team if you're still dicking around and you're fighting each other, which is exactly what happens. The races start, Vettel holds Leclerc back, then Leclerc fades, and then Vettel kind of scraps for a couple of points, all while Mercedes want to.
Okay.
So yeah, good luck to the presenters who actually present Formula One full time to keep trying to find new things to say, because now even with the momentum of the Netflix show, people are like, ugh, foregone conclusion, blah, 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 blah. And finally, in Madrid, Novak Djokovic won the Madrid Open there, beating Tsitsipas, Stefanos Tsitsipas, our favorite Greek player.
Mm-hmm.
Beat him 6-3, 6-4, and with that, earned a record-equaling 33rd Masters 1000 title. So many numbers, but when you're the world number one, that is it. He then won what looked to be a phallic torture device from medieval times. I'm not sure what he did with that, but if I was him, I wouldn't kiss the end of it.
Is that the trophy?
That is the trophy.
Where's that been?
Look it up. I wouldn't kiss the end of that if it was my 33rd Masters title.
Yeah, that's definitely something medieval.
Gosh, who thought of that? And that's just ridiculous. That, to me, is the most controversial thing in sport right now. It's not DRS, it's not goal line technology, it's not Abu Dhabi money in Man United, Man City. It's this thing that Djokovic kissed over the weekend. Anyway, he's now the French Open favorite for sure, because Nadal's left arm is running out of speed. Wow. Simple as that. More sport on your Wednesday.
All right, thank you, Ben. Over to Anthea now for a little look at your finances. Anthea always brings us the latest in what's going on in the economy, what kinds of things you need to look for at the stock market, where that rolls around. And this morning, she is resplendent in all her figures and notes, her very lovely little iPad, which has a pink cover on it.
Resplendent.
Yeah, she is. She's resplendent. So here she is, just for you, Anthea Gardner.
Nice keyboard action.
Shut up, I just learned to do this. She looks up for money, so hard for it only. I still get at least one version of your song every week from somebody. Somewhere. Someone somewhere has a version of your song every week.
And it still makes us smile and dance in studio.
Yes.
So she works hard for your money. How's our money looking this morning?
I'm afraid not good. Last week was very disappointing.
We heard the election was a stable outcome. The ANC retained power. This is what people like Peter Bruce promised us would bring us much happiness and abundance and a fruition of all of our promises and hopes.
I'm sorry to disappoint. And yeah, I think the market was looking for an ANC win of between 57 and 58%, which they got.
They're really particular, huh? That's exactly the number they were looking for.
That was kind of
57 and 58, otherwise the Rand is fucked.
That was kind of our base case scenario. Anything less than that and we would have been a bit worried. Okay. I mean, that's kind of based on polls and based on chatting to people.
Sure.
So, okay. But I think it was last week, you know, we were closed on Wednesday, obviously, and then Thursday was the biggest negative day so far this year. And that was nothing to do with our elections. That was more to do with global markets. And this is now all about the Trump and China trade, right?
Yeah, the trade war that's looming.
That's right, which he kept on threatening last week and finally on Friday implemented. So as of Friday, 6 o'clock.
Does this mean he's put tariffs on that $200 billion? Dollars of Chinese imports.
He's raised it from 10% to 25%. Right. So things that will be more expensive for the US consumer, smartwatches, Bluetooth devices, chemicals used in manufacturing, textiles, health and safety products, bicycle helmets.
Oh.
Yeah, I just had to throw that in there. Child safety furniture, all these sorts of things. Suddenly, the US consumer is now going to be paying more for. The import is going to be paying more for. And the question is whether or not the importer can pass on and how much of that tariff increase the importer can pass on to the consumer.
Now, this is where I've got to tell you that Donald Trump is being a moron. And you know, I've been vocal about how he's delivered on all his promises. And he has tried to bring industry back to America from China. He's created a bunch of jobs. But I don't think being in favor of tariffs, which are essentially government manipulation of the free market, I don't think that fits with what else he's doing. And this is, I think he's got this idea that tariffs are good. And they never are, right?
No, they never. We've spoken about this before, right? Remember in the 1930s, the Smoot-Hawley Act, which we
No, we have spoken about it before. But only you remember.
Oh, sorry. Okay.
And yes, the Smoot-Hawley Act.
Yes, yeah, you just got it wrong.
Which we believe was the catalyst for the Depression. So, yeah, okay.
No, what's your feeling on tariffs? It's never really a good idea.
No,
it's market manipulation.
Exactly. I absolutely think that's right. And I don't like it at all. I think Donald Trump, he's just a bad negotiator. And he's just...
But he did the art of the deal. What are you talking about,
sure.
Anthony?
Have you seen his
art
Texas?
Of the deal. Are you crazy? All right, go on.
So I kind of hope that he's president for a second term, because I think policy takes about 2 years for the impact to really take effect on the economy. And I almost want him to see what he's been doing. You're like, well, that's, I want him to be president for a second term if he doesn't create a global war. I mean, World War III, because that's the other thing. He's not a very good negotiator. In fact, I'm reading a book, Woodward's book, Fear, Trump in the White House. And it is so fascinating. And I don't enjoy reading politics, but it's fascinating to see how the White House staffers actually handle him and how they take things off his desk that they don't believe should be passed. And it's crazy, really. The man has no idea what he's doing.
Well,
sounds like a juicy book, though.
Yeah, that Bob Woodward book.
It's a hard read. You have to get to know.
It's received a lot of attention.
35 people in the cabinet. Who cares?
And they keep changing, by the way.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, since the book was written, some of those people aren't around anymore. Anyway, yes. So there's a Chinese-American trade war, and it's hitting the whole world hard.
Yeah.
Thanks very much
and
for that.
And Asia's down again this morning, so I suspect we'll be down again this morning.
Right.
And then locally, we had mining and manufacturing data released on Thursday. Mining contracted and manufacturing expanded, which I guess is kind of good news. Mining contracted by 1.1%, which is not as bad as the negative 7% we were expecting. So that's kind of okay. Gold sector was probably the largest negative. And then conversely, coal was, which has the highest weighting, in fact, lifted by almost 6%. So that's not bad. And I think this mining is also going to depend on global demand and Eskom, because, you know, mines use almost 30% of Eskom electricity. And if Eskom, now that elections are finished, can't produce enough electricity, then it will impact on mining production. And of course, global softening sentiment, US trade wars, people worried they're not going to buy, they're not going to put in orders unnecessarily if they think trade is going to slow.
Okay.
So all the way down to that, right? Back to Donald Trump and his trade war. And then manufacturing rose by 1.2% year on year. After February's 0.5% increase. So that was quite nice. Only 5 of the 10 sectors experienced growth, though. So, you know, it wasn't an outright win. It was kind of negligible. And then a couple of companies in the news. MTN released a quarterly update last week. It definitely looks like their new CEO, well, not so new anymore, is he, Rob Shooter, has his feet comfortably under the desk. They increased revenue and customer growth by 10% year on year and 9% year on year, respectively. Yep, that's very good, right? Mm. Net 4 million new subscribers.
Sure.
So that's quite impressive. In these updates, they don't disclose EBITDA, so they don't give all the numbers. But what they did say that was South Africa's margin was flat, Nigeria's margin widened to 2.4%, and that's actually good. So I think that what that shows is that they're delivering positive operating leverage. And then the big thing, of course, is this asset realization or selling off assets to get cash in to strengthen their balance sheet, which is a big thing. So they listed this company, Jumia, which is supposed to be Africa, the Amazon of Africa. Mm-hmm. And they didn't account for it in their equity position. So I think they're going to write it off next year. And then the Nigeria MTN listing is still going ahead. It should be now soon, actually.
See, this is the problem with Nigeria is you expose yourself to a huge market of potential customers and obviously enormous growth that you couldn't compete with anywhere else in Africa just because of the numbers. But you also expose yourself to the vagaries of their market and their very, very capricious government, who will, at a moment's notice, drop some kind of clangor on you that you suddenly owe them $1 billion.
$2 billion, yeah. Remember that, I mean, big fine.
You know, so you want to expose yourself to the market, but you don't want to expose yourself to the government.
So difficult.
Very
eh?
Tough. Yeah. Very, very tough.
So MTN did actually say they're making very slow progress on this $2 billion court case, this fine that they're going through. It is a problem. But hopefully listing Nigeria will give them a smaller stake in the MTN Nigeria and make it more, what's the word, more fair? I don't know, like, not as exposed to as the main shareholder, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
So if Nigerians themselves are now shareholders in MTN Nigeria,
they'll tell the government to behave a little
bit. Exactly. That's what I'm trying to say.
Good luck with that one.
Okay. All right.
Or what about Mondi and Sappi, two paper companies?
Yes. Two paper companies, same sector, very different though. Mondi's EBITDA was 16% up year on year. Great number. Mm-hmm. Couple of things there though. So Mondi guided that they would be closing down some of their plants for maintenance to the tune of 150 million euros and spread over the full year. And in fact, they didn't do that. They said the first half would be 90 million euros. And it wasn't. It was only like 35 or something. And so if you normalize kind of the earnings numbers out for the full year, then growth wasn't exactly 16. It was actually only 7%, which is still not a bad number in this environment, I believe. But the paper market is definitely a bit weaker, a bit disappointing. I don't know. Mondi, I mean, I thought the share, it was a decent number, so I thought the share would have been up on the day, but it was actually down. And partly, I think that was to do with Sappi reporting. Shocking. Sappi's numbers were just, they really were awful. EBITDA was down 11%. So compare down 11% to up 16%.
You know, they both make the same thing.
Well, they don't really. Mondi is more containerboard. It's different, whereas Sappi is kind of your magazine paper, your fine plastic-coated, that kind of, and
So those guys are not doing so well because there's no market for that.
That's
anymore.
Right. So think,
well, there's a market, but it's small.
Think cardboard packaging and what do you call the food boxes, food containers, that sort of thing. So very different, yeah. And then the other problem with Sappi is that they've always said they've got this like Sappi 2020 vision that everybody's looking forward to. We have that will add 10% to EBITDA. To earnings. We've not seen a single strategic move, you know, and this is stuff like moving vertically into hemp products or like further down the chain production, what they call VSF, which is viscose staple fiber. But they haven't done anything with it, so very disappointing. Right. Yeah.
Okay, and then just Uber. We're talking about poor old Travis Kalanick. What's happening with him?
So Uber IPO'd on Friday. Finally, this highly touted,
How did it go?
I mean, ridiculous valuations last year, remember? I mean, there were valuations of like $250 billion last year.
Yeah, what did it end up being?
About 70-something. $70 billion.
Well, it's a fortune.
It's big, right? So the share was down 8% on Friday from IPO. But they kind of, their timing was a bit bad because Lyft also, remember, you know Lyft, their competitor, Lyft also reported on Wednesday and they reported a shocking number. I mean, that was just absolutely disgusting. In fact, Lyft was down 11% on Wednesday. The company, none of them.
Disgusting, Anthea.
What?
It was absolutely disgusting. The numbers.
Yeah, the numbers are pretty shocking. So the problem is these guys are not making money. They're not making profits. Lyft's revenue was up 95% to $776 million, and they still made a loss.
How? What are they spending on?
So this, they said, was mainly due to stock-based compensation, payroll tax, taxes and costs related to their IPO and expenses.
Sounds like it's, yeah, I mean, by now you should have figured out the profit structure, yeah.
Exactly.
Surely.
So I think these companies are getting huge valuations, yeah. Huge, ridiculous, crazy mm-hmm. value, like nosebleed valuations. And they can't justify them. They can't justify it. And their moats, their competitive edge is not as strong as people think it is. So, you know, when Uber came to market, like, oh, it was great, first of its kind. Mm. And then there's Uber Delivery, Uber Eats, and. But the competition, there's Taxify, there's Lyft, there's a couple of others. There's another one I got told about the other day in South Africa, which I didn't know about and I can't remember the name now. But apparently it's much cheaper. The problem is, though, that they don't check or they don't do verification on their drivers as well as Uber does. So a little bit dangerous, I suppose. You won't be using
it. So was Travis invited to the listing?
No, so this is the big drama with the Uber listing on Friday, is that the new CEO, and I really struggle to say his name, Karau Shahari. Oh,
right. He's friends with Pete Buttigieg.
Where's Ben when I need him? Ben, come have a look here. So the CEO did not invite Travis Kalanick to ring the bell on the Newark Stock Exchange.
Drama.
But that's tradition. They do that exactly. with everybody, right?
Imagine you started a company, it listed, and you weren't invited to ring the bell. Heartbreaking.
All right.
Anyway, couldn't have happened to a nicer guy. Well, Travis you've never Kalanick. Liked
him.
Yeah.
No. You've never liked him, so that's fine. Yeah. Okay. Thanks very much. Anything
My
else
pleasure.
You want to throw in there?
No, I think it's going to be a quiet week. Our first full week for I don't know how long.
I know. Let's hope productivity increases proportionately. Thank you so much, Anthea.
Pleasure. Right, have a good week.
Anthea Gardner, working hard for your money. She'll be back in a week's time. Sia has got said by Sia for us today. Here's something positive to start your Monday morning with.
Hey, do you remember that video of the guy in Paris who basically like just climbed on the outside of a building to save a baby?
That's right.
I think that video is now going to be second to this one that I've just seen. A 19-year-old has been hailed as a hero after he helped rescue 14 people trapped inside a burning building in China.
How did he do that?
By using a crane. But I mean, this is like a scene from a superhero movie. This fire broke out at an empty shop on the first floor of a 7-story apartment building in the Fashun city in China. And what amazing coincidence that this 19-year-old was in the area. He started hearing people screaming and he just thought, oh, screw it. You know what? Let me just help in some way. There was a nearby construction site. He ran towards it and began just messing around with it. Crane was actually able to operate it and drove it up towards the building. Look, I wouldn't recommend it to anyone to save the day in this way, but at least it turned out amazingly for him. The 19-year-old is Lan Juanze. Sounds a bit Latino more than Chinese, but it's probably my pronunciation. Yes. But he was able to hoist the crane forward to the third floor, where he began by helping a mother and a son who were calling for help, and then went to the second floor where he helped a father and his son out of that. But eventually, a total of 14 people were saved from the fire in less than 30 minutes, thanks to this 19-year-old. So maybe like spending your time on PS2s or 3s or Game Boys isn't too bad when you learn how to operate something. Unfortunately, only one person died in the fire, but even authorities are saying, look, if it wasn't for him acting so quickly, you know, these people wouldn't have been saved. So kudos to him, Lan Juanze from China, for saving 14 people in a burning building.
Amazing. Yeah, very good. All right, you see, there are smart people and good people and people who can operate a crane.
Now that's a society I'd like to be part of.
Not Titty Westbrook.
Yeah. Now we'll come back with more just in a couple of minutes. Stick around, cliffcentral.com.
This is cliffcentral.com.